All right. Hallelujah, Lord. Where are we? We've been talking about some things, but let's pray and we'll get started. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word today. We thank you for those that were able to give and those that couldn't give today that you'll bless, Father. You've already blessed all and you continue to bless jobs, continue to bless each person, Lord, whatever they need. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to weave some things in this morning. Hallelujah. We've been talking a little bit about authority with God. And within that, I'm going to go to James. But today is Pentecost Sunday, which just simply Pentecost just means 50. 50 days after, you know, under the Old Testament was the Passover, but our Easter, where Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen. How many know 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came to the upper room? How many got excited when you got filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm telling you, it changed my life. You know, they didn't have that under the Old Testament. They didn't have God living on the inside of them. They weren't born again, but then they didn't have the Holy Spirit's power all the time available to every believer. Now, he would rest upon different ones, the prophets, the priests, the kings. There have been anointing would come upon them, you know, upon David. They'll go kill a bunch of people, you know, conquer the city, go out to war, whatever it is. Amen. They would have different feats, you know, Samson who goes up and tears the gates off the city and carries them down. And those things happen. But that was under the old covenant, and God worked a lot of times, what, from the outside in, didn't he? They would see the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day, remember? They would have the manna come down, and it was there on the ground. They picked it up. But what do we have today? God began to work from the inside out. He said, I wanted to dwell within man. Of course, when we receive the Lord, it is the Holy Spirit himself, right, that actually quickens or makes alive our reborn spirit, and we become that child of God or born from above. Like Jesus says, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And that nature that we have is changed. And so we have that. Praise the Lord. So we gained that nature, but then how many know Jesus promised he was going to send the Holy Spirit, didn't he? He said, I'm going to send someone like myself. He said, I'm leaving the earth. It is necessary. It's expedient that I leave. It's necessary. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to John. It is good to meditate this here. John, I've been reading it over and over, but John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, the whole book's great, but those chapters talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. And when we look at that, it begins, Jesus begins to say some different things about what was going to come. And it was necessary that he said, I have to leave the earth. I'm going to leave, guys. And it doesn't always make sense, this we're thinking. You know, when you really think about it, you thought, well, why do you have to leave, Jesus? Because I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. God himself is coming to live inside of you, which was God's design from the beginning. Remember Adam and Eve? We talked a little bit about last week where they fell from that glory that was on them and in them. They were so clothed in the glory of God, they didn't even know they were naked. They didn't know evil. They didn't know what it would be like. And the tempter, of course, Satan himself, tempted them and they fell and lost that glory, that life of God, that relationship alive to the Father. They became what? Death nature, not immediately on the outside they didn't die, but inside they did die. They were separated from God through sin, that sin brought the death, and now you and I, of course, were born into a fallen human race. And we don't know God, but Jesus. Amen. God promised Jesus. Glory to God. We talked about that last week. All right. Let's see here. Let's go to John chapter 16. And verse 3 says, "But now," Jesus is saying, "I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me where, and none of you ask me where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage," or "it is expedient. I must go. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. You cannot bear them now. That you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Then he says, "A little while and you will see me. You will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is here in this chapter, and he is saying, "I'm going to the Father, but I have a purpose, guys. I've got a purpose. I must send the Holy Spirit to the earth." He is promising. He said, "I'm going to send you one like myself, the Helper, the Comforter," or some would say in the Greek, the Paraclete. And that just means one like myself, someone that will come alongside you. It's like in a military term. If one man is fighting and another man comes up alongside of him to strengthen him, to help him defeat the enemy, and they become powerful as an army. And we become powerful as an army when we realize the truth that Jesus says, "You're going to receive the Helper. You're going to receive the Comforter, the Holy Spirit himself." He said, "I'm not going to entrust you just to yourself. I'm not going to leave you alone." He said, "I'm going to depart so that each and every one of you can be filled with the same power that lives on the inside of me." Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I am alive to the Father. See, he was alive to the Father. He was born alive. Why? Because his blood did not come from man, but from God Almighty. As the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, the Bible said, "A body have I prepared for him." And God himself supernaturally impregnates Mary. So God's blood was in Jesus. He was not tainted with sin. He was born alive unto the Father. And so free from sin. And walked in that freedom, understanding who he was. Came to understand. The Bible said he grew in wisdom. Even Jesus had to grow Everybody's like, wow, he should have known. No, he humbled himself, the Bible says, and he became a man. Hallelujah. He set his deity aside. He said, I'm going down there so that I can understand man. I can show them who the Father is. I can show that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And my life will be sacrificed that all men may know that I am the King of glory. That I am the way back to the Father. Oh, hallelujah. That nature that we have on the inside of us, that spirit man can be reborn and the life moves in, yes. Then he said, I'm also going to send the Comforter. Oh, the Helper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what is he going to do? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he's going to guide you into all truth. How many want the truth? How many are tired of fake things? I'm tired of fake. Fake promises. See, I have to be careful sometimes what I say. See, we can promise things to people that we're not ready to deliver. And God wants to do it. Sometimes it takes a little bit of understanding. How many just understood everything right away? As soon as you got saved, you just had it all. You just understood God. You knew how to walk with Him. Oh, I'm good. I'm ready to go. Come on, God, let's move. Yes, He loved you. Yes, His love became alive on the inside. But how many love Him more now? As you understand what? Who He is. That He doesn't just have love. He is love. He can be nothing but love. Hallelujah. Oh, good news. That doesn't mean he doesn't have standards. Doesn't mean that he doesn't set boundaries. It doesn't mean you can do whatever you want in that relationship with him. Because he has a way. Amen. And his name is Jesus. Glory to God. And he is that way. But the Holy Spirit comes to guide us into all the truth. He will not speak of his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. How many want to know the future? Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody ever had God tell you something to come? Sometimes it's a long time in advance. Anybody, everything a long time in advance? Maybe it's 10 years. Maybe it was 20 years. Maybe it's been 30 years. Something that God has spoken to you. But if we don't give up and we stand upon what He said, He will bring it to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this is important because Jesus promised, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Glory to God. How many know there's power in the gospel? There's power in that new nature. In that new spirit, I should say, really. It's different, yeah. I mean, you have a spirit on the inside of you, just like you have this body. And if I'm here and my spirit stepped out of my body, you say, well, there's Doug. There he is. Well, what's he made of? That spirit, man, he's made of spirit, isn't he? Just like we'd say, this body, what is he? Oh, well, he's a little neutron, protons, electrons, you know, and go on down DNA. And I don't know all the parts, but God does. I don't even know if the scientists know them all. They get real close and they do good, you know. They're finding out we're finally made by sound, you know. When God said, amen, formed us, made of the dust of the earth, breathed into us the breath of lives. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. We're not alive without Him. Breathe into us that breath. That's one of the words for the Spirit of God. breathed into us a spirit, a living soul we became. Whew. Made out of dirt. You believe that? Whew. Everything coming from the dirt's good to eat. I like the cows too, but they eat the grass that comes from the dirt. See, so, you know, all the minerals we have in our body, they're in the dirt. They've come up in the plants and all that, yes, but they're really just right there in the dirt. Brown dirt, I've seen red dirt, you know, yellow dirt, there's all kinds of colors. That's why we're all kinds of colors in the world. Isn't that wonderful? God wasn't boring. Made us all, we all came out a little different. Praise the Lord. You know, whatever part I am, I don't know. I get pretty good tan, so I'm happy. You know. You know. So if you're not happy with your color, you'll have to talk to God. He doesn't see it anyway. Praise God. He just sees us. Human beings made in the image of God. You look just like Him. Glory to God. Well, let's turn over here where we see the day of Pentecost in the Bible. Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. How many know? No. Oh, I think that's a... How many know that it's good to obey God? The disciples, how many think they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit if they hadn't have listened to Jesus to go to the upper room? How many heard it besides the 120 and didn't go? They missed that day. They skipped out. See, when Jesus talked to them about going to the upper room, this was a room that was there in Jerusalem. He said, go to Jerusalem, tarry there. They knew where to go. They'd been there before. Jesus had taken his disciples there many times. There was a lady there named Mary. It wasn't the mother of Jesus, but her name happens to be Mary. And she was married to a man who was fairly wealthy. And she had quite a large house. And so she had invited Jesus and the disciples many times to come and hang out. And Jesus would do many things there, the teachings there. That's probably where they had their, what do you call the Passover? He said, go and prepare it, get it ready. And they came there, and she had an upper room, which was really her living room, quite large, pretty good size. I mean, she's got a big house, and so she could house 120. Maybe it was a little cramped, I don't know. But it's pretty good size. And so that's where they went. They knew where Jesus wanted them to go. They'd been there before. They'd been there many times. Guys, let's go. Let's go to the, you know, that's where they sought God. That's where they prayed. It's where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. It was right there in that room. Many things happened in that upper room. It wasn't just the day of Pentecost. But they had been there several times. And, you know, we read here, and let's just look at a few things here. I'll just start at verse 4 of the first chapter, and we'll read a little bit today. Let's take a look here. It says, and being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven, who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Just like you saw him go, you're going to see him come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many are looking for his coming? Are you waiting? Are you seeing the signs? Amen. How many know? It's not so important to understand everything, but to know one thing, he's coming. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's going to clean us up. He's not done with the church. Jesus is not finished with the church of the living God. He's only just begun. Hallelujah, because the best is yet to come. For the glory of God shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Remember, we have read and we've got the promise from God Almighty. We're not talking about somebody who just wrote something down, but the prophets of old who heard and were empowered with the Spirit of God coming upon them and wrote down exactly what God was wanting to say and for us to know. And it is a promise that we can hold on to, and we can begin to walk in and know the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And part of that glory is going to fall out and come out from you and from me. For the glory of God lives within. That is the power of God that he desires to display unto the world. A desire that will, a flow that will come from within. He desires to flow out that men may see and glorify our Father in heaven. Oh, ha, ha, ha. The greatest days are yet to come for the church of the living God. He's not done. It may not look right now like there's very many here, but God's not finished. Hallelujah. Woo! He's coming. He's coming in glory and power, and he's coming in the cloud also. We've got to be ready. And he says, you're going to receive power. That Holy Spirit's going to fall upon you. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples in Acts chapter 2. It said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Oh, how many are thankful that that day came. Glory to God. See, we're celebrating today. This was a long time ago. A little over 2,000 years now. That he came, and he's been in the earth, and he's been ready to work in everybody's heart who would receive him. Hallelujah. If you'll open your heart, he'll come in a mighty way. Amen. It said the day of Pentecost fully came. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, oh, glory to God. How many people like suddenlies? Have you ever had a suddenly in your life? It looked one way, but suddenly God came and changed that circumstance, changed the problem. Hallelujah. How many know circumstances are subject to change? What are they subject to change to? The truth of what God's Word says. Amen. One day you might be sick just like that. How many have had God come and drove it away? Hallelujah. I've recovered a few times in my life, and I'm glad I'm still alive because I plan on living. I don't want to be bound by dead religion. I want to be free in the Spirit of the living God to let him have his way, his desire that all men may be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And he said, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And here he sent it. Glory to God. And suddenly there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, glory to God. Have you spoken in those precious tongues that God sent like he did on the day of Pentecost? You can. You see, when I was a young man, I didn't know I could speak in tongues. I didn't realize I could. I saw in the Bible where they were filled with the Spirit, and they told me, you just receive Him. And so I received Him. They said, just receive it by faith. I said, I do. And people asked me, are you filled with the Spirit? I said, you better believe it. I sure am. I loved Him. I prayed, and I believe I was filled. And I know He filled me. But how many know? There's a precious language that we can talk in that directly links us to heaven. That's none of the devil's business, but it is a divine language in which you speak those mysteries unto the Father. Hallelujah. It was something that filled me. I would pray and I would seek God. I thought, Lord, oh, I so wanted to tell Him how much I loved Him. And it just seemed like I couldn't find the words. But then one day in my prayer time, the language began to come and it began to flow. And I began to pray in an unknown tongue to me, but it was right alive to God, and I could feel my spirit fill up to overflowing. And finally, I felt free that my Father really does know how much I love Him. Oh, hallelujah. How many need some help today? Amen. I like to pray every day. Why? Because it is a language that God has given to mankind to communicate directly to Him and to pray what? The perfect will of God out over your life and for the life of those that are around you and whom you're able to step in, and He can use you to intercede and to stand in the gap and to cause change in their life. Yes, it may not look sometimes like anything's happening, but how many know in the realm of the Spirit, God goes to war with you against that enemy, and He can change the circumstances. He can send a laborer. He can cause things to happen where men's minds are touched and their lives are changed for an eternity. Glory to God. I know if I get in trouble, I appreciate all of you because you'll go to bat with me. Amen. It's that same thing. We are warriors together with God. And He sent the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, to take hold together with against what? The infirmities of our flesh, that inability to produce a result because we're limited in this flesh body. But how many know when we step into another realm, the realm of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God takes hold together and can pray through us, the perfect mind of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where is that in the Bible? Romans 8. Let's look at that for a minute. Hallelujah. What a gift we received. It's great to go to Pentecost, but how many know we can take Pentecost on beyond the upper room? We can keep on rolling. Amen. Hallelujah. We can keep on moving. We can keep progressing with the Holy Spirit in our life and cause change. Look over here in the book of Romans, the next book over. Romans 8. Now, I'm going to back up to, I think, 23 for a minute, but let's start at 18, because how many know sometimes there's some things that we don't always have go perfectly for us, and there are sometimes a dying to the flesh, a suffering that we go through. It's not a suffering of sickness and disease. It's not a suffering of poverty and lack, but it's a suffering of dying to what we want in our fleshly life and what He wants from the Spirit. See, the Bible says the flesh wars against the Spirit. But when we yield to the Holy Spirit, He said, through the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of this body. And there can be a groaning on the inside of us for the redemption of this body, because we want to be fully free. But He said, until then, I've given you a helper. I've given you a language that you can communicate to me with. Verse 18, He said, for I consider that the present sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, glory. God wants to reveal His glory. Not in heaven. The heaven's already filled with glory, isn't it? right now in this earth, on this side of heaven. Amen. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. That's a perseverance, an endurance. We don't stop. We don't quit. We don't give up. We never draw back, but we press forward with God. He said, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance or with patience. Likewise, the Spirit, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit himself also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groans that cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. Now what that says in the Greek, cannot be uttered. What with articulate speech and our own selves, we cannot give utterance to it. But the Holy Spirit comes and he gives us that utterance. How many know on the day of Pentecost, they begin to speak? As what? The Holy Spirit gave them the utterance or the words to say, that supernatural language that begin to pray, that begin to talk to God, that begin to worship him, that begin to intercede for their life and cause a change. Amen. They became what? World changers. You are a world changer when you begin to pray in other tongues. The world around you begins to change. Your own life will begin to change. Why? Because he doesn't leave us the way we were. But he begins to build us up. He begins to strengthen us. He begins to bring forth everything we are in Christ forward in our life. And it is such a powerful language that sets us free. Hallelujah. Many people say, I want to be free. They haven't been free yet till they got hooked up with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what, he'll set you free because your spirit becomes alive to the Father as never before. There's a fire that burns within. There's an anointing that comes and lives on the inside of you that empowers you to be a witness and to testify of the things that God has shown you. He'll make that Word of God alive. You begin to understand as never before. Why? Because he is that teacher. He is that guide who takes us into all truth. We're not just blabbing nonsense into the air. No, it's not for your mind. It is for your spirit. But those words are a prayer to be answered. They come back to you in understanding, revelation, knowledge of the Word of God. Begin to acknowledge and realize, oh, this is God's plan for my life. I begin to see it. I begin to sense it. I begin to know it. It grows inside of me like a tree. And my life begins one with God. And I begin to walk in greater and greater victory. And the fruit of God begins to grow in my limbs. Oh, yeah, maybe it's a little bitter at first, but I continue to mature. I continue to let him pray for me. I continue to let him take me into his plan. In verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I want to know God's will. Keep letting those tongues pray out through you. it will come back to you. You will begin to understand. It will become known to you. God will see to it that His purposes and His plans are made known in your heart, in your life. And you'll say, oh, there I am. I see myself in the Word of God. I hear His voice. I follow Him because I'm His sheep. It's not that other people cannot. It's not that you can't receive some things from God with the born-again nature. You've been born of the Spirit of God, but when we are filled, when we are baptized, the Bible says, it is a submerging of the Holy Spirit coming upon you and filling you to what? To overflowing, where there's a language that comes forward and begins to change your life. Hallelujah. And you become a fire for God. It burns on the inside of us. The truth of God burns. The desires of God begin to burn as never before. And we are empowered to be a witness for Him. How many know what a witness is? It's somebody that saw something. See, when God reveals things to you, He just shows you. Amen? It becomes real. Maybe it's out of the Word of God. It's going to be in line with the Word of God anyway. But different things He shows you. And you'll say, I see that. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Father. You say, well, what's His method? Well, would you spend an extra hour in prayer today? I need you to pray for this person. Will we hear? Will we obey? Will we stand strong and let it come to pass, believing God that has done at last? What shall we do with the Spirit of grace that's so mightily filled from the inside out, that desires to change things in the earth? Will we let Him out? Will we take the time and say, Lord, I'll let You pray through me. Here's my body. Here's my life. Take it all, Lord. I belong to You. What are we going to do? Are we going to allow it to continue to change our life, or is it going to be a one-time experience and we're going to be stuck in Acts chapter 2 where He came? He came, and I remember that day I was filled with that power. But is that power still working in you? God needs us in this last hour to be strong, to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to build us up. He said in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go there real quick just for a minute. Verse 2. He that prayeth in an unknown tongue. When we speak in that tongue, it doesn't speak to men but to God. No man understands, howbeit in the Spirit. What is He speaking? Mysteries with God, or divine secrets with our Father. In verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue or in tongues edifies himself. Hallelujah. He who prophesies edifies the church. It should come to a place where when we gain that understanding, we gain those revelations, when we gain what God is saying, yes, then we speak it in a setting or to an individual, whatever it may be. But when we're talking with Him, He said, it will what? Bring edification. In other words, He's building up on the inside of you a building, an edifice, a structure, a life that's filled with Him, that has understanding, that has strength, that cannot be broken because He lives there. Hallelujah. And He is edifying you. And of course, we know also in Jude 20, because what was Jude talking about? He said, it was needful for me. I wanted to talk to you about the common salvation. I wanted to talk about the great blessings that came in that salvation. Amen. The salvation, the safety, the prosperity, the blessing of this salvation, but it became known to me. He said, I must speak to you concerning something. He said that you would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I tell you, friends, all of us in every generation, we are to contend for the truth of the faith of the gospel and not let it be watered down. Not let it be destroyed, but to stand strong in what the truth of God has said. And if we go down to the 20th verse, one of our favorites, Jude 20, he speaks of all these men that had come in, crept into the church. They're trying to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't saying Jesus isn't Lord, but they were saying, you can do what you want and still make heaven, and that'll send you straight to hell. Amen. Because the Bible says we are to walk in what? Holiness. See that when we walk in holiness, he said, you'll see the Lord. When we begin to break down the foundation that Jesus is the Savior, you're in big danger. Trying to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And they crept in, and every generation has them. And we've got some here in this generation. They were clouds without water. They couldn't produce anything. But you, beloved, verse 20, are not like these, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Spending time praying in other tongues, allowing your spirit man to be strengthened so that you are not ruled by what you see, what you feel, what you sense, and everything around you. But you're moved by what God has said. Hallelujah. And the truth of God is what stays strong on the inside of you. So these are those which are sense-ruled, sensual. They cause divisions, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, we're building up ourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost, what? Keeping ourselves somewhere in the love of God. Amen. What are we going to do? Are we going to stay stuck at Pentecost, or are we going to move on through? Amen. Are we going to keep pressing? Are we going to believe that God wants to fill the earth with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea? I don't know about you, but I want to see that glory. How about you? Amen. We have part of it on the inside of us. We are pressing toward it. Yeah, we see some things. But how many want to see the fullness of the glory of God? Amen. How many know that is good? Yeah, He manifests Himself. Yes, He brings truth. Yes, we want to know. But Lord, we want experience too. It's good. We don't base our life on experience, but how many know? When you know the truth, it comes into experience with God. It comes into manifestation, in other words. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about where God comes. And you say, be healed, and that person is whole. Right now. Healed. I remember I was listening to, I've said this before, but I was listening to someone pray, and I thought, oh, what a nice prayer. Well, it's good to have nice prayers. It is. That's great. The Lord asked me, He said, can you say be healed? I said, yes, sir, I can say be healed. He said, that's all I need. I don't need the fancy prayer. I just need you to give me time. Will you let me pray through you? Will you let me pray my purpose for your life? Will you let me pray my will? Will you let me use you? Will you let me put you into a place where I can intercede for others? And I know all of us do. We are the house of prayer. And we're moving forward in that. And we're learning in that. And we're growing in that. And I believe one of the greatest places you can grow is in that prayer closet, where He can show you things. He can trust you with a name. He can trust you with a situation to pray it through. Hallelujah. He'll use you. He'll use you. Me, yeah, me, yeah, you, little old you and me. Can you believe it? From St. Thomas, Ontario. Oh, my. Can anything good come from St. Thomas? Yes, hallelujah. for the church is alive and well. He's not through with you. He's only just begun. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We rejoice that he came. But Father, we don't want to stay in the day of Pentecost. We want to keep moving forward with you, Lord. We want to pray, Lord. We want to seek you. We want to let the Holy Spirit move through us. Holy Spirit, teach us. We want you to guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We welcome you, Father. That we can continue to go forward with your fire as your witnesses, Lord. We can each one reach somebody for Jesus, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, guide our steps. Take us through. Help us to be those that are yielded completely over to you. And Lord, when we don't feel like it, help us to just lay back and let you pray through us anyway. Oh, knowing that you're praying that perfect will. And bringing us into that communion which is so sweet with you. Lord, thank you for not leaving us the same, but giving us a way in which we can pray and we can change. Lord, we want to love you. We love you with all of our heart, Lord. We want to know you more. We want to understand you. We want the truth, Father. We don't want lies, Father, but truth which will set us free. Oh, we love you, Lord. We give you the glory in Jesus' name.